Your journey begins. The spiritual guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.
Indeed. Welcome to the realm of elusive, fancy alcohols, I guess. Is that kind of where we're at? I'm excited because we're talking cognacs, right?
Well, we're having brandy, which is cognac is one type of, armagnac is another.
See, I didn't know that right off the bat.
Yeah, so we've got three different products we're going to run through tonight. First one being a French brandy, so sort of gives us the ability to sort of explain what the style is, and then gone for two particular I suppose designation by location types of brandies, which is cognac and armagnac, so they're made from a particular region.
Cognac has to be from a certain place, kind of like champagne.
Just like champagne.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, like got you. And what the hell is brandy? From, like for a silly dum dum like myself.
So going into the basics of brandy, you start with white grapes.
And then it's a great thing.
Yes, John. Just calm down.
So then you go through a distillation process.
Wait, it's a grape thing.
Yeah, it's a grape thing. So like whiskey, you distill grain that makes whiskey. Right. Now with brandy, you distill white grapes.
But that's like wine. That's like white wine.
Essentially, you're making a wine.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
The interesting thing with brandy is essentially they took a wine that you wouldn't want to drink because it tastes like ass.
That makes sense.
Let's boil it.
That makes sense.
Wow, all of a sudden it tastes amazing.
These things always come
and
from
necessity.
And then
they chuck it in oak barrels.
Yes, I was going to say the colour must come from the wood.
Definitely. So they normally mature that for minimum of 10 years. For XO anyway, that's the first one we're trying.
Okay. Is that a general vintage for brandy, or is that...
They have designations, so it's... they've got terms, so it's like VS, which stands for very special, is sort of the base level for most brandies and cognacs.
That's a great base, though.
Yeah, and it's...
Very special.
Very special. And that's got to be aged for at least 2 years. And then there's VSOP, which is very special old pale.
Oh, man, I was hoping for something a little bit more like super very special.
And that, depending on where it's from, has to be aged for between 3 to 4 years. And then XO steps up. It used to be 6 years in barrel, and it recently got changed in April this year to 10 years minimum age in barrel. Okay. The thing with the brandies, when they've got that designation in them, it's not like an age statement. It's a minimum age, so you've got a blend of ages, so there could be some brandies that are over 30 years old in that blend. So the first one we're having is a brandy, so it's
and the
this
glass
one
is important on this one. It's got the flute style glass.
I'm interrupting here, but just going back to a point that Aroha made about the brandy being in oak barrels. Like the region not brandy. Is it brandy or cognac?
Cognac is a type of brandy.
Cognac is a type of brandy from the cognac region.
Yeah.
John.
Look, he knows it. He knows everything about it.
I'll take over
in the cognac region, is there a lot of oak, or is the oak come
very
from
nearby?
Else?
There is.
Yeah. So it's all sourced from France. All the oak barrels.
Okay.
They've got a traditional forest.
Yeah. There's a couple that they pick from. Normally, it comes from. You'll like this one. There's a region called Limousine.
I do like that.
I thought you would. Yeah.
That doesn't get rapped about.
Limousine Oak, man. What's up?
It hasn't been rapped about, actually. I didn't notice.
And the other one is Tronchai, which isn't quite as sexy to say.
What one are we doing right now? Sorry.
So it's this one here is the Saint Remy XO French Brandy. So this one here doesn't come from a particular region. In fact, they actually get grapes from all over France, including some of the big regions like Bordeaux, Burgundy, the Loire Valley. I think they also get some from the Languedoc,
which is
in the Rhone Valley. Yeah. So Languedoc is that whole sort of right along the Mediterranean coast.
Right. Okay.
And this one here is a little bit different because it's actually got not just white wine or white grapes. It's actually using red grapes as well. The process of distillation takes the colour away anyway, so it comes out as a clear product.
Okay.
And then it's aged in French oak for at least. At this stage, it's probably. This is an older one, so it's probably a minimum of 6 years, but they've probably got older in there anyway. Mm. I mean, you probably notice it's a nice sweet. It's got definitely got a grape character to it.
Yeah. It's quite nice. I'll be honest, normally brandy to me it's in that really rad looking, refillable crystal flute pouring thing, and my mum will just put it in like a cooking thing every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I've gone.
That's literally like our brandy sales go nuts. In November, and it's because everyone starts making their Christmas cake and their Christmas puddings.
Brandy snaps, everyone.
And I mean, because brandy really,
yum, by
the interesting thing with brandy, brandy used to be the most consumed spirit in the world.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, it used to be the main one because wine was essentially, you know, wine's one of the most highly consumed liquors in the world. Mm. It's kind of the very first distilled one's going to be there.
What do they do with these crummy white grapes?
But then phylloxera came through and wiped out all the vines in France, and whatever, say it was around the start of the 1900s, end of the 1800s, and pretty much wiped out 95% of the grapevines in Europe. They just got killed in the space of about 5 to 10 years.
That's a lot of heritage down
so
there.
So at that stage, they pretty much they wiped out the production of brandy, and whiskey took off.
Okay, got it.
Because everyone was like, should I still need some strong stuff?
This is a lot easier to get down than whiskey, I'll say that much. Like, it's very super friendly on the...
Yeah, this one's been made to be really, really approachable.
Yeah, it doesn't have that, like, gnarly burn or anything like that, eh? It's, like, quiet.
I mean, this one here, what is it? It was about $55, $53 a bottle? That's so it's the
51.
It's the 51, yeah. So it's the cheapest one in our lineup. It's
That's great. What's it? Okay, what are we, John? Read that. Saint Remy.
We've got a Saint Remy authentic French brandy imported from France. It's cruising 40%, so it is no joke. But like you say, it's quite easy to get down the gullet.
Yeah, you don't. Pick
I didn't say yeah.
You don't pick out the spirit in this one. Like, you know, you don't get that fiery heat. It's got this really caramel molassesy kind of note.
That's pretty much what I was saying, though.
Yeah, I get that. No. I get that. I understand.
It's good that you can articulate my.
Is it just grape?
So barrel doing a lot of work as well, John. Well,
brandy as a general term normally means it's been made from grapes, but you can have fruit brandies. So, for an example, Calvados is an apple brandy. So they essentially make a cider and you distill it.
Yes.
If you make a wine out of cherries or blueberries or whatever you want to make it out of, essentially you can make an alcoholic beverage by fermenting that sugar source of fruit. So and most, then if you distill it, it will become a brandy.
Is it fair to say that most prison alcohol is technically brandy?
To be honest, mate, I don't know. Wink. I've got no idea, mate.
If I make alcohol out of potato, does that mean it's brandy? Can't it?
Vodka.
Is that? Yeah.
Potato vodka, man. I always heard they got prison.
There's not much good wood, barrels lying around to really color the prison brandy.
No. Prison. I imagine they get the color from somewhere else. Probably because they're running it through their dirty undies or something to filter it.
Fuck yeah. Shout out if you're listening in prison on Transistor Radio. Thank you for choosing 95 BFM and all the best for your freedom. Yeah. What's next? What's next on the menu?
So the next one we're going to is a cognac. So like I was saying before, essentially you go all cognac's brandy, but you know, not all brandy is cognac.
That's a great way to put it.
So
that's almost a rap way to put it too. Which feels
yeah,
good.
It's right up there, right up there.
Should we do the cork
pop? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh. Oh, nice!
Almost sounds like a stock sound.
Feels good, eh? Feels good.
That was clean. So in this case here, you've got...
We're just going neat, by the way. Just sort of a shot neat in a nice little narrowed to the nose flute-style glass.
If you imagine a sort of glass container for a candle in the 1840s, that's what this...
Everyone can remember this.
The old lantern.
Thanks, Benjamin.
It's kind of like a tulip.
It's supposed to funnel the scent to the nose, though, right? That's the situation.
Definitely. So, I mean, the idea is with the glass shape is by having it bulb out first and then come in tight, you've got a large surface area on the top of the spirit which allows for evaporation, and then the glass tightens in, which essentially holds the air that has evaporated or the alcohol that has evaporated, so you can nose it.
This one has got heavy duty caramel for on my nose.
But this one here, I can get what you're saying there. I also get lots of spice, so it's kind of like vanilla, but cinnamon, kind of allspice kind of spice is coming through. Did you get, was it this one that you were talking about, butter, or was it the next one?
Definitely the next one.
The next one, yeah. But,
I'm going to say that next.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely butter.
This one's what, okay.
I'll just run you through what this bottle is called. It's called a Remy Martin. Or Martin.
Is this must be Remy the same, Martin. Same family as the Saint Remy?
Same company, yes.
Yeah.
This is a fine champagne cognac.
Okay.
It's also a product of France. It's 40%. It's 700 mils and it's kind of a frosted green bottle.
And you're back in the room.
So this one here is, like I say, it's an actual cognac. So it comes from the cognac region.
Oh, shit.
Stepped into cognac right now.
It says fine champagne, which isn't the champagne that's the sparkling wine. There's actually a region inside champagne, inside cognac called champagne, just to make it really confusing.
Man.
And there, all of the grapes for this wine come from either the Grand Champagne or the Petite Champagne region of cognac. You go from having the last one, which had a wide range of wines from all over France, to having the grapes coming from three main varieties, one being Uni Blanc, the other one being Colombard, and I forget what the third is called. There's another one. But they don't use it that much.
This actual cognac, it's got a date on it saying 17-something-something. Is that kind of...
That's when the family started making cognac.
So that's when cognac started?
Well, they're one of the main families, but I don't know exactly when they... I mean, when it started as such, but that's when Remy Martin, as a family business, started making cognac themselves.
They only started rapping about it in the early 90s.
Yeah, the rappers really got on it late,
yeah, yeah.
They should have got onto it years ago. But this one here, so you're seeing it's a VSOP.
I feel like my palate isn't quite refined enough for that. Like, I'm really pumped on the first one still. And I just think it's because I'm a silly dum-dum. Yeah. I think that's probably it. It's just
I think the first one's got a little bit of residual sweetness.
That's me.
You'd like that really hides a little bit of spirit heat.
Yeah.
Could I say that this one is... drier?
Yeah,
it's definitely drier.
It's got a little bit of that tannin too from the oak, which gives it that sort of that drying sort of furry feeling that you get on your teeth you're drinking, say a really big heavy red wine. You get that sort of feeling on your teeth
for a couple of days.
I tell you what, everyone, I'm just running my tongue along my teeth, and they do feel a bit more furry.
Interesting.
The last one kind of looks like a sort of a rosé bottle or a dessert wine scenario.
Yeah, so the next one's Armagnac. And so Armagnac and cognac are both two distinct regions. So cognac sits just north of Bordeaux on the west coast of France. Armagnac sits just south of Bordeaux, but again on that west coast. So they're quite different in style. So the cognac goes through double distillation in a pot still. Armagnac goes through a single distillation in what they call a lambic or a continuous still. So it only goes through the still once. It comes out between 50 to 70% alcohol, and they put it into the barrel at that strength.
A little bit blonder, isn't it?
Yeah, it's younger too. So this is an age statement, so it's a minimum 8 years old.
Okay.
Whereas the other one has a minimum age of 4, but it's probably got a whole lot of older stock in it.
At some point in my sort of hazy history, I have had Armagnac before, and I couldn't tell you much about it, aside from I've got a positive experience associated with it. And I would say, on the deck, it's the best looking bottle, I must say. I feel like that's I don't know.
I like it too. I mean, for me, it's Armagnac's quite different to cognac, and not just the way that it's produced, but also... the industry where cognac, 85 to 90% of all cognac is made by like four or five main houses. Right. So it's big companies that make a lot of it, and they buy it all off the growers. Whereas Armagnac is like a farmer's product. So they literally,
artisan.
Most of them don't have their own stills. They have a guy who has a trailer or a truck with a still in the back of it, and he drives from farm to farm or from vineyard to vineyard and distills their stuff for them. And then they put it into their own barrels and they store it themselves. So it's all released mostly as like little individual single vineyards and stuff. So you're getting a much more, I suppose,
radical.
That's one way you could put it.
More like a shotgun kind of crazy.
It's still got a lot of history and it's still got a lot of heritage behind it, but it's got like a more artisanal level to it. You know what I mean? Like it's like craft beer. You know, like the guys are. It's the small guys making the weird and wonderful.
Let's get down to a nitty gritty. Oh yes.
It smells a lot sweeter.
For me, this one
can't use that every time.
Yeah. No, I said dry last time.
I'm going opposite.
This one's kind of liquidy.
This one's probably a little bit more fiery. You get a little bit more heat from the alcohol than the other two.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
It's a little bit racier, but then in saying that one's 43%. The first one was 40. What's that one? 40. So it is 3% higher alcohol, so kind of give it some leeway there. But also, Armagnac tends to have a sort of bit more rich, vibrant sort of spirit base to it anyway, and I think that comes from the type of still it goes through for production.
This is fancy, this one, for sure.
This one, so this one's a Baz Armagnac.
Les Grands Ensembles.
De Rauge, Les Grands Ensembles. Blagues, or something. I didn't mince that, but.
That's the De Rose, De Rose Grand Ensembles. So essentially, they've. With this, that they, DeRose, a producer, they buy fruit from some of the small vineyards. They own some themselves, and for their Grand Assemblage, they combine multiple vineyards together, so it's a blend of vineyards.
Oh, nice one. Teamwork, I like
yeah,
it.
Whereas they do vintage releases, so like the most recent one we've got is 2001 from memory, and that is a single vineyard, so it comes from one farmer's, or one vineyard in particular.
This little number is kind of, it has like, it's quite sharp up front, but going down it's actually quite smooth, which is kind of weird. Like, I don't know whether I'm getting that on the front of my palate.
You almost had me, but then you ended with a question mark kind of sound, and I was like, you got nothing.
Like
you got
Ron
nothing.
Burgundy.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, I was looking to Tonchi for that one.
I can see what you're coming from there. Like, you get that, there's a little bit of sharpness right on the tip of your tongue,
yeah,
right at the very beginning.
I feel like someone could walk into Glengarry and go, look, this is what I want, and you could probably fit a brandy to that, because these are quite, I can honestly kind of taste different vibes from these brandies, which is quite impressive.
Is
brandy
different.
Quite vast like that normally? Is it like pretty much like you've got to stay in like a certain zone to get it right, or what's the
There's always like a house style normally across like so if you look at cognac, for example, you'd go Hennessy, Mary Martin and Martel, probably the three big ones.
Right.
They've got their distinctive styles, and then you go through their age statement, it's just seeing like a more mature expressive version of that same spirit as it goes through its life.
Yeah.
Armagnac is all about individuality, so the same producer has lots of stuff, because as I say, it's coming from different vineyards, so they've all got their own flavour profiles.
It's a trip that it comes from the green grape that buzzes me out, because it totally has like that brown liquor vibe about it, you know.
It's well, like I said, all spirit comes out as a out of the still like clear, like crystal clear.
Right. It's
either oak age or what they call caramel colouring, which is essentially sugar that's been burnt right down to it's flavourless. They add it back into the spirit to add colour.
That's
so
right case, eh?
Yeah. So we're drinking it neat. Is there a sort of cocktail? Are there any classic brandy cocktails?
There's the Brandy Alexander, but I can't remember how it's made.
Brandy Manhattan. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you could probably make...
There's a lot of mixtures that
you could make like a version of an old-fashioned with the Armagnac in particular.
Yeah, I think you could substitute this out with most whiskey drinks.
Yeah.
I feel like you totally could.
The Brandy Alexander's got nutmeg in it, doesn't it?
I can't even remember. I just remembered the name. I was like, there's a name.
You'd have to ask Alexander. How many brandies would you say that you've got on stock at Glengarry? I know that's like probably a horrific number.
Probably like
40?
Yeah, 40 or 50.
Yeah.
Far out.
If you go through like brandies and then you can start, as I was saying, you can start adding in some fruit brandies.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've probably got like, if you look at the cognacs, for example, we've probably got like 4 or 5 different brandies from each of the houses. So that's like 15, 20 to start with.
Mum's coming in to cook something. What brandy do you sell her?
To be honest, at that stage, you're pretty much just buying whatever brandy's the cheapest by the litre. Which, yeah, if it's for cooking.
But you're burning off the alcohol, you kind of want it to taste nice in the end.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we're not selling anything that's not nice.
Yeah, good call.
To start with.
Great answer.
It's just how good it is.
Well, thank you very much for this exploration of brandy, Armagnac, and Connie. This is something I've thoroughly enjoyed. I feel like we should have a open forum brainstorming session with you guys as to where do we take it next for the spiritual guide. Well, I mean, we were kind of... I suggested sake because I hate the stuff.
But I was feeling delicate, so I said no.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Right, so next we're going into September, right?
Yeah, September.
So we're going spring, hygiene things up a little bit, maybe some gin.
There you go.
Okay. You guys like your gin?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what? If I was like... My objective was to have a big party and a big night. I would probably cruise gin most of the time, just because I'm kind of like,
you can't really go wrong.
Because you're a straight party maniac.
I haven't partied for a long time, but
I'm also happy to. Has anyone sent any texts and wanting to wanting to learn about a particular category, and I'll say, nah, I'm not doing that.
Text us into 5395. Maybe is there a particular alcohol that maybe it's always been out of reach and you've always wondered? Because now we have the opportunity here. We can be the guinea pigs for you.
I'm into all those bizarre aperitifs and digestif.
You want to sit up here and have a few glasses?
No.
Sure.
Fuck. You're going to make me do some research, aren't you?
All right. Well,
just a quick one. I've got a whiskey tasting coming up in our Takapuna store for anyone that's really wanting to learn about whiskey from a really ground level. We're doing a 101, so it's, I think, $25 a ticket. It's on the 14th.
That's quite approachable.
August, so it's a Tuesday evening, starts at 7 o'clock, and you can see the details on our website. But just one that's for people that's literally trying whiskeys from around the world.
No snobbery welcome, just like from the... You can
and I'm trying whiskeys from Ireland, Scotland, America, awesome. And sort of showing how the styles are. Very similar to the tasting I did with you guys the very first time.
Oh, rad.
With a couple more whiskies. Added in.
$25, that sounds like a bargain if you think about
it. Not bad price,
A few little sips, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, thanks, Glengarry's.
Cheers, guys.
Always a pleasure.
See you next month.
Right on.
Carry on your way. That was The Spiritual Guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.